From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Dead and Alive. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. At the moment of salvation, the old man is looked upon as having died with Christ on the cross. The new man is regarded as having been made alive with Christ at his resurrection. Believers are said to benefit from all that Christ did in his death as if they had done it themselves. When Paul speaks of the believer as having been baptized with Christ into death, he is referring to the breaking of sin's power in the Christian's life. Similarly, believers participate in Christ's resurrection from the dead. They become partakers of Christ's resurrection life. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 17. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. The path of the Christian is not always bright with sunshine. He has his seasons of darkness and of storm. True, it is written in God's word, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And it is a great truth that religion is calculated to give a man happiness below as well as bliss above. But experience tells us that if the course of the just be as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, yet sometimes that light is eclipsed. At certain periods clouds cover the believer's sun, and he walks in darkness and sees no light. There are many who have rejoiced in the presence of God for a season. They have basked in the sunshine in the earlier stages of their Christian career. They have walked along the green pastures by the side of the still waters. But suddenly they find the glorious sky is clouded. Instead of the land of Goshen, they have to tread the sandy desert. In the place of sweet waters, they find troubled streams, bitter to their taste. And they say, surely if I were a child of God, this would not happen. Oh, say not so, thou who art walking in darkness. The best of God's saints must drink the wormwood. The dearest of his children must bear the cross. No Christian has enjoyed perpetual prosperity. No believer can always keep his harp from the willows. Perhaps the Lord allotted you at first a smooth and unclouded path because you were weak and timid. He tempered the wind to the shorn lamb. But now that you are stronger in the spiritual life, you must enter upon the rougher and riper experience of God's full-grown children. We need winds and tempests to exercise our faith, to tear off the rotten bough of self-dependence, and to root us more firmly in Christ. The day of evil reveals to us the value of our glorious hope.
My life I give to you, O Lord, whose name I pray. May I glorify your precious name in all I do and say. Let me trust you in the valley dark as well as in
snow.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
And yet here we were, chapter 5, verse 12, in Adam. And in Adam we died. This baptism then establishes a new relationship. Indeed, it creates the new man in Jesus Christ. It's an initiation into Christ. To put that another way, this baptism is an incorporation into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one Spirit we were baptized into one body. That is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're incorporated into Christ. That word incorporated, coming from two Latin words, the in, is the same in Latin as it is in English. It's in, or into. And the word corpus, which means body. Our placement in the body of Christ. This is a baptism that puts us in union with Christ as the members of a body are brought into union with their head. It is also a word that speaks of identification with Christ. And this is the major emphasis in Romans chapter 6. We are reckoned one with Christ in all that he did in his death. So much so that it's reckoned to us as if we had done it ourselves. So that's the meaning of baptism: into his death, initiation into Christ, incorporation into Christ, identification with Christ. Now verse 5 says we were planted in the likeness of his death. The word planted has the idea that we were made to grow together with Christ in his death. It's the only time in the New Testament this word is actually used. But there's a very similar word. Little difference in the prefix. There's a very similar word used in James 1:18, where Paul speaks of what is translated in the Authorized Version as the engrafted word of truth. It's literally the implanted word of truth. And that's what leads our translators here, I think, rightly to say that we were planted together with him in the likeness of his death. A great Swiss Reformed theologian, Frederick Godet, said of this word that it denotes the organic union in virtue of which one being shares the life, growth, and phases of existence belonging to another. You've seen this in the horticultural realm. I would like to stand aside now and get Johnny Gresham up and let him give you a lecture in this, but he's shaking his head already. But you see this, where in horticulture, they will take a branch and they will graft it into a tree or some other living thing and let them grow. And that branch is not just joined to it, it becomes one with it. That's something of the idea. When that branch is grafted in, Romans 11 goes into this in some detail about the Gentiles being, and it's a different word, but the idea is very similar, grafted into the stem and the what flows from the root of the old Jewish church. You know, all that's in the root, all that's in the parent body, as it were, flows out to that branch. We are implanted with Christ in his death. We're implanted there so that he shares with us his life, his growth. And I like what Godet says, the phases of his existence. We'll see that as we proceed in a moment. The idea of being implanted with Christ in his death is that all the fruits of the death of Jesus Christ, therefore, flow to us. Now, what does it mean to be united with Christ? It means to be baptized into Christ and into his death. It means to be implanted with him in the likeness of his death. Now, those are the idioms. Now let me finish up. by dealing with the implications of this statement of our justification and union with Christ. What does it mean? I'll try to be brief here, for actually this is the whole message. Number one, it means that believers benefit from all that Christ did in his death as if they had done it themselves. Now this is the force of this baptized into his death, identified with him in his death, one with him in his death. All that his death accomplished is made over to us as if we had done it ourselves. It's ours because we're united with Christ. And yet it's all of grace, because you will notice in verse 5 that we are planted in the likeness of his death. And I like that. That strikes the heart out of the whole heresy of Romish theology. You see, we are one with Christ in his death to receive all the benefits, but we're implanted not into the actual death, but into the likeness of the death. In other words, while there is tremendous similarity to our dying unto sin in Christ, it is not the actual death of Christ. You know, Rome teaches and talks so much superstitious nonsense about people producing the stigmata, the marks of the sufferings of Christ. And that's a mark of special sainthood, if you can reproduce the stigmata. But we do not actually suffer anything. We do not actually make any part of the payment for our sins. We do not cooperate in making the payment for our sins. When the hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all, he got it exactly right. He paid it all. Nothing left. Nothing undone. But we benefit from everything that he did in his death as if we have personally accomplished it. What did he accomplish in his death? He made an end of sin. He satisfied God, his law, and his wrath. He bore the penalty. He removed the guilt. He purchased reconciliation and provided a complete acceptance. Those are some of the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ, and we receive them by faith, and they're as truly ours as if we had personally accomplished them. Second implication, our death to sin, that is the crucifixion of the old man, or our being brought out of Adam, is final and irrevocable. Now let me repeat that. For justification is an irreversible act of God's grace. When you're put into Christ, you'll never be taken out of Christ. When you died to sin in Christ, it was final, irrevocable, irreversible. That's the significance of being buried into his death. That's why I wanted to emphasize, don't import water into this chapter. Don't get all tied up in the mode of water baptism. And I have opinions in that, and I hold them dearly as much as anybody else. And it is a hugely important subject, but don't import it into here because you'll miss the real point of the burial. This burial is speaking of something altogether glorious for a Christian. When you come to Christ, receive Him in faith. Here's the witness of the Spirit. You died unto sin, to its claims, to its guilt, to its penalty, and to its realm and reign. It is no longer the tyrant over your soul. You died to that. And in proof of the fact that that is irreversible, you were buried into the death of Christ. What a benefit then, that our death to sin is once and for all, as Christ died unto sin once, never to die again. So we in Christ, by faith, are justified, and we died unto sin once and for all. Here's the security that Paul has been talking about since the beginning of chapter 5. It's the security of the saint. And this is the ground of our assurance. The third great implication. All who died in Christ also rose again in Christ by the glorious power of God. Do you see how he puts this in verses 4 and 5? We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We were singing the hymn to start with tonight, Christ arose. Death could not hold its prey. He tore the bars away, and up from the grave he arose. The hymn writer was very scriptural in saying that, because the Bible teaches that Christ could not remain in the grave. It was a total impossibility. He couldn't remain in the grave. The promise of the Father was, Psalm 16, thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That was the promise of the Father. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said, Acts 2:24, God hath raised Christ up, having loosed the pains of death, listen, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The resurrection of Christ was inevitable, given who he was. Given what he had done in his death, it was impossible that he do anything else but rise from the dead. Now I want you to get that clearly in your mind, because Paul is now going to draw a tremendously important argument from that. And he's going to say, similarly, it is just as inevitable that a justified person, a believer in Christ, who died unto sin, must rise to walk in newness of life. You see, those who died unto sin are raised by the glory of God. That's a strange expression, is it not? Raised by the glory of God. It's not so strange when you stop to think of it, because here there are some important points, and I want you to get two of them in your mind. Listen, believers partake of all the benefits of Christ's resurrection by the glory of God, just as surely as they partake of the benefits of his death. Now, what is this glory of God? Most commentators agree it's the power of God, gloriously manifested. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I think it is also this. It is the power of God manifested to promote and display His glory. And what displays the glory of God like the resurrection of Christ? And in connection with that, like the resurrection of sinners from the dead.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.